Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Today, the 3rd of October at 7:05 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community. Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Christina is back, at least for today.
Good morning.
If you collapse and fall on the ground.
You will help me.
I will help you. And if there's blood, I'm really good at fixing things with blood. Okay?
I'm happy that you're not scared.
I'm not scared. And I have things in my, have things in the car that will stop that blood immediately. Yeah. Anyway.
Great. So I'm in the best place.
You're in the best place here. And then Sue can run in circles and call it 911. Okay. Welcome back.
Thank you so much.
Are you up to doing the weather? Oh, I am. Here it is. Thank you. Oh, you even circled them for me, so I know what day it is. I miss you.
I miss you, too.
Sunny with a high near 85. Tomorrow's going to be like 90, 92, 93, and it starts going back down to the 80s. Now, on Columbus Day, next Monday, a slight chance of showers with a high near 77. Every evening is going to be in the 60s, low 60s. So it's going to be that kind of week. It is getting a little bit warmer. And but then I think this may be the last crescendo of hot weather. Well, it's not even hot. You know, at 90, we're wearing long sleeve shirts. We're getting ready. So, weather reports always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, a locally owned, locally operated family business out of Anderson that treats their customers just like friends. They have discounts for seniors and veterans. They have other payment plans, and it's a veteran-owned business. Oh, yeah. I really like the Kinney family. Give them a call at 530-365-3793. So, can we talk about your operation or not?
Yeah, why not?
You had your gallbladder removed.
Yeah, she decided to leave me and live her own life. You know?
Live her own life someplace. Now, did they do it where they go through the old navel, or did they open you up?
They, make four holes.
Yeah.
They blew me with CO2.
Yeah, and they blew you, so there's lots of air, lots of room in there.
Yeah, because they see me that I'm too small.
Yeah.
It was hard.
Well, you are small. You're lean. Now, I had a friend that had her gallbladder taken out, and back then, boy, they cut right in there. And, I mean, it was like a long incision, too. And, of course, they were military doctors, so who knows. But it was a long incision, and it took her a long time. But now they can do it arthroscopically, where they just go in, like you said, they blow you up, four incisions, and they kind of cut it up and pull it out.
Yeah, they like a vacuum.
Yeah, vacuum it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot less pain.
I hope so. I cannot imagine with other surgery. It was my first one, and it was enough painful.
Okay.
The funniest thing was when the anesthesia was going through.
Uh-huh.
I started asking the doctor to hug me in Ukrainian, and he didn't understand me.
It's important you have a good doctor-patient relationship.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're okay, and you are on a crutch, and you said you want to come to work today, and you didn't have to. I mean, I've got producers, you know, on each other's shoulders, so you didn't have to. But if you were ready,
you just must work too much.
Okay. You're not in your other job, are you?
No.
Are you going to school back? Going to school again?
I will try tomorrow.
Okay. Well, welcome home.
Thank you so much.
All right. Things are happening. The Redding Rancheria signed a 25-year compact with the state of California for 25 years. And they're very happy with this, of course, because it moves them closer to locating on the I-5. And what this essentially means is that the state recognizes their ability to move to the I-5, and Compaq will govern when they move to the I-5. The casino, also part of the negotiations, we were very transparent with the state, and this is according to Tracy Edwards. They recognize that what's going to happen, and it's in a compact that this, with this, will move us forward. It isn't the final step, of course. They still need the BIA to roll in and agree to it. The state will give money directly to local governments rather than to the state to distribute, which Edwards said hasn't been happening. The tribe is obligated to set aside money that we can then turn around and give back to our local governments. This way we can ensure that local governments are going to get the funds because they haven't been able to get any funds from the state for several years. Isn't that interesting? I wonder what they're doing with that money. I have to ask Tracy when she's on this month. What do you think happened to all that money? You know, and then something else that came up the other day was Shasta County Council has just said that she doesn't like the idea, or that she has questions about the new proposal for a Citizens Election Advisory Committee. She thinks the new one they just hired says, she says that the ordinance establishes oversight for the new five-person Citizen Election Advisory Committee legally insufficient and unenforceable. And Supervisor Jones, head of the board, he thinks the county council's problem with the ordinance as it is written are routine items that can be resolved, and maybe their opinions, but I would like to hear what the county council has to say and why is it unenforceable. And the idea behind the county committee is to make reports to the supervisors and or citizens election committee, observe, inspect, and examine election records and documents, collaborate to receive, investigate, and respond to citizens' complaints, ask questions of election officials, and receive timely answers. That's kind of interesting. And per authorization from the board chair, in this case Jones, contact the county council to request subpoenas if anything's found wrong. Kim Garman, District 2 supervisor, thinks it's overreach. We have no reason to do any of this. It's just another waste of money. And Kathy Darlin Allen doesn't feel comfortable giving her opinion about the ordinance because she's not an attorney. Isn't it amazing how somebody says, you know, I'll let the attorneys battle this one out because I'm not one. Okay, so that's happening. So that should come up. Well, today's Tuesday in a board meeting. There's going to be all types of things going on, including I think they're going to set the date for the recall election on Kevin Cry. And it can be earlier. It can be as late as, I think, March 5th, which is the primary for everything, which kind of makes sense because then you don't have to have a special election. You just tack it on to the regular election. The other day we had a Matt Plummer in here, and he was talking. He had statistics on on absenteeism in schools that I found staggering. And then Record Searchlight comes out with, you know, same kind of stuff. But they're saying is that chronic absenteeism, and that's missing 10% or more of a school year, has just exploded since COVID. Another byproduct of COVID and locking down schools. In Shasta County, 31% of the students enrolled in Shasta County schools were chronically absent during the 2021-22 school year. Chronic means missed at least 18 days or 2 days every month of school. That's a 19% jump over the chronic absentee rate during the 2018-2019 school year, which was 12%. And Siskiyou County, it jumped to 40%, almost 41% this last year. And that's a 25% increase from the years before. in about 30% of California schools in 2021 and 2022. And the reason I'm bringing this up is when it's in the article. But the other thing is, it's not just a problem we're having up here in the North State. About 30% of California students enrolled in-person schools missed at least a tenth of the educational year, up from 12% during the 2018-2019 school year, according to the state data. Even though all the pandemic restrictions were lifted, nationally, the number of students reported as chronically absent from school during the 2022-2023 school year was double what it was prior to the lockdown, according to Arizona State University. And it said approximately 16 million students were chronically absent last year, up from an average of 8 million before the pandemic. Anyway, why are they missing school? Biggest reason? Transportation. They can't get to school. Older students are having to take care of their younger siblings or having jobs that conflict with school hours. Some students reported they stayed home because they were bullied by peers or just didn't like their teachers. Wow, I would have been a chronic absentee because I didn't like some of my teachers. But try to explain that to my mom. Hey, Mom, I don't want to go to school today. You know, I don't like Mrs. Smith. Yeah, well, you're going to like Mrs. Smith a lot more than you're going to like me if you try to stay home. Okay, let's take a break. You know, here's the thing about absenteeism. One, it puts kids back, right? And two, you know, the schools don't get paid if those kids aren't in school. So you take a 15% hit on the amount of money that's coming in for students because they're not there. It starts adding up. Now you've got to figure out what's the real reason. If it's transportation, what can you do to set up something so the kids can get to school? Is it smaller buses? Is it, you know, going out to other areas? What is it? As far as the bullying by peers, you've just got to be ruthless with that. Just ruthless in wiping that out. And not liking the teachers, well, then that comes down to the student. You don't like the teacher, you want to skip school, then so be it. And become a ward of the state the rest of your life because you're not going to like your bosses. You're not going to like anything except doing what you want to do. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. And you didn't become Cornerstone Community Bank by being absent. No, they're like one of the top six smaller banks in the nation. They started 16, almost 17 years ago now, and they have been moving dreams forward since the day they opened. They have four branches, one in Red Bluff, two right here in Redding, and one in Anderson. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com. We'll be right back.
Turtle Bay's Harvest in the Gardens is Saturday, October 7th, featuring a hay maze, animals, live music, a mini farmer's market, pumpkin painting, and more. Harvest in the Gardens, Saturday, October 7th. Tickets and info at turtlebay.org.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve a growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Come join Reading Electric Utility in celebrating Public Power Week on Friday, October 6th. This year's free family event will be held in downtown Reading on the Market Street block. There will be electric safety demonstrations, police and fire demonstrations, and free treats. This event will include energy-efficient raffle prizes, including a new e-bike. Come join the celebration on Friday, October 6th from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. For more information, call 530-339-7300 or visit our Facebook page at Reading Electric Utility.
Get ready for great fall family fun at Turtle Bay's Oktoberfest, taking place Saturday, October 14th from 5 to 8 p.m. featuring local breweries, food, live music, animals, games, and more. Oktoberfest-themed costumes are encouraged. Each ticket includes your first beer or root beer for the kids. Presented by Liquor Barn and Sasquatch Car Wash. Oktoberfest at Turtle Bay, Saturday, October 14th. Tickets and info at turtlebay.org.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Fall savings are underway at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Maximize your car wash savings with car wash packages starting at only $11. A clean car is essential to your safety, the safety of your passengers, and even your vehicle, especially with smoke, soot, and debris in the air. Now's the time to bring your vehicle to Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Turtle Bay's 17th annual Fall Plant Sale is taking place Saturday, October 7th, featuring California natives and drought-tolerant plants propagated on-site for our region. Turtle Bay's Fall Plant Sale, Saturday, October 7th. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back. Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and the Bar. Today, the 3rd of October, phone lines here, 605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by a locally owned, locally operated company, 4Winds Jewelry, located at 2225 Hilltop Drive, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading with a watch repairman, the ability to design and build jewelry. They have a fabulous collection of jewelry ranging from estate to old upon Native American and everything in between, watches, bracelets, everything. And they're at very fair prices at 4Winds Jewelry. 2225 Hilltop Drive, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. Dr. Paul DeNuca is on the line. Good morning, Doc. Hello.
Good morning, Carl.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you.
So what's up?
I wanted to make a brief comment on the school absenteeism.
Okay.
For almost 2 years, Sacramento state government forced almost a total shutdown on our schools and children and normalized the online education. Some of us warned about it, how dangerous that experiment was and how far-reaching consequences it would have. And a lot of absenteeism is a result of that because it has become normalized to do the online learning rather than going to school, whereas schools have so much more benefit than just book learning in terms of social learning also. So I just wanted to say that.
No, I totally agree that we are still paying the piper for this COVID lockdown.
Yep.
In business, in schools especially, I know you keep up on all this, but the suicide rate's gone up, the overdose on drugs has gone up. This is what happens when a federal government thinks they know how to do things, and they're totally wrong, just totally wrong, and we're paying for it. The kids are paying for it.
You know, 2 years ago, I was way back in 2020, May or June or something, I went to the Board of Supervisors, and in a brief a 3-minute speech, I mentioned exactly these issues, that this will increase this will hurt the children most with in terms of their learning, in terms of their social skills, depression, suicide, ACE score. You can pick up that speech and still they are on record.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, no one listened.
Well, an elected official not listening to common sense and logic? Are you kidding me?
But that's okay. We'll get together and we'll fix these things. We have to do that as adults for our children. We owe it to them.
Well, you know,
what happened happened.
What happened happened. Now, what do we do to fix it? You know, and if transportation is the biggest problem, it seems to me that we could there'd be ways of running more routes out, closer routes, things to help kids. You know, maybe it's smaller buses. Who knows? Maybe parents getting together and having carpools, you know, and carpooling kids to school. You know, all those things could be done. Anyway.
Yep, have to come up with a solution. Another thing. Thank you.
Hey, this next story is something you're going to love, the next story I'm going to talk about.
All right, I'll listen to it. Thank
okay.
So
all right, thank you very much, Dr. Danuka. Charmin bathroom tissue. As you know, Dr. Danuka is the guy. When you get your colonoscopy, this is the guy you go to. Well, Charmin Ultrasoft has announced a breakthrough, the first breakthrough in 100 years when it comes to toilet tissue. Yeah. The Ultrasoft rolls of toilet paper will have a new perforation line. The easy tear paper will have scalloped edges in effort to give consumers a simpler and smoother tear. Now, here's a guy that just, I'm sorry, but I just didn't realize there was a problem. You know, it doesn't tear right. Okay, it didn't tear right. I didn't lose any sleep over it. It didn't really bother me. I mean, you hunters and you military have been out there. I mean, you've used sand as toilet paper, all right? Anyway, they are this new smooth tear creation has been in the works for more than 5 years. So what do you do? I'm studying. I'm being paid $150,000, $200,000 a year by Charmin to find a way to make the paper tear better. The company is excited to be reinventing the square, and it's going to – you can start buying this next month. Now, the senior scientist at Procter & Gamble said in a media statement that users – top complaint for years has been the inability to get even tears in the paper. Even uneven tears result of straight perforations that didn't match the direction the consumers pull sheets. Is this really a problem? Is this a problem, Christina? Is this a problem? Do you ever think about that? If it doesn't tear perfectly, do you ever get upset about it?
For me, to be honest, not really.
No, I mean, in the Ukraine, you guys use, like, logs, right?
No.
Wooden chips? I'm just kidding. Okay, now. okay, now here's the thing is. If you really wanted to solve problems, if you really wanted to make an innovation in the industry, why didn't you have directions when it comes with the toilet paper? Toilet paper hangs thusly. In other words, does it hang with, you know, with the sheets coming over the top or under the bottom? Which is it? Should it come from the top or the bottom? And you get it both ways. It depends who puts the toilet paper in. It depends on if you care or notice. Now, the other part about it, this is Charmin. This is the one with the bears advertising toilet paper, and I can't help it, but every time I see a bear jump up and grab toilet paper and it's stuck to their butt, I'm sorry. It doesn't inspire me to go out and buy toilet paper because these bears, oh, this is so much better. I don't care. But then again, how do you advertise toilet paper? Smoother, more absorbent, has the ultra soft smooth tear. Yeah. That's what I spend my time in the morning is reading about this stuff. if this is a comment about toilet paper, I'm going to take it. So just ask them if it's a comment about toilet paper. If it is, otherwise we have to go on a break here in a couple of seconds. Ask them if it's about toilet paper. That was a big business online. So what they're going to probably do is you get the new special tear from the ultra soft people at Charmin, but is it going to cost more? Because they had to revamp their whole line so that the toilet paper was perforated in such a way. And then what happens if it doesn't work? Pat, good morning.
Good morning. I would like to weigh in on this subject.
Okay.
Okay. So, and just
well, it's your turn. It's your turn to wipe up the audience. Okay.
Yeah. Great. Well, I'm going to do what I can to get this off of my roll. since 1980, you know, I have run the custodial crews and spending your tax dollars in the schools.
Yes.
And there is only one way for the toilet paper to come off.
Okay.
This is for public health standards. It's got to come off the front because what happens if it comes off the back,
yeah,
people's grubby, nasty hands hit the wall, and then the next person's hands hit the wall when they're grabbing that paper in the back. So it has to come off the front.
Okay.
It's all for public health, Carl. It's all about.
Is that right? I think
who's
the original.
Help the children here.
I think
in the
original.
Same way for the towels. Towels. So same thing for the towels. The same rule applies for the towels. And anybody that fails to do that would be, they would get two warnings from me before they'd be written up in camp.
Because they're putting the toilet paper on backwards. Well, I think in the original patent, they showed that the toilet paper came from the front.
Yeah, well, and it's also easier to reach, right? You know, I mean, it's like you got 4 inches closer to you. So, and I know in your station for a fact that 4 inches is a big difference because, I can't reach another.
Well, the way you put the toilet paper container up there, you've got to be a contortionist anyway to get to it, but I figure that's a way to cut back on the amount of toilet paper people use. No.
Sure, you know, it also provides some exercise. So. Anyhow, that's my opinion.
Okay, well, good. So, and then I can truthfully say we will not address this again. Thank you.
Bye.
This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Maxwell Insurance and Financial. Well, it sounds like the insurance companies in the state are trying to get it together, which means your rates are going to go up. That's the way the state handles anything. Just raise rates. But Junie Maxwell is there to help you with those decisions. That, and she's got two divisions, the insurance and the financial management. If it's insurance, if you know, that division will make sure that all your insurance needs are handled and handled well. If you're wanting a second opinion on your retirement plans, 401ks, with all the inflation and all the things that are going on in our economy, then give Judy a call for a free review and evaluation at 530-221-0441. Maxwell Insurance and Financial.
Congratulations to all the volunteers and to the registered voters of District 1 in Shasta County. You took a stand against throwing away millions of your taxpayer dollars. Thousands of you signed the petition, and you put the recall of Supervisor Kevin Cry on the ballot. Soon we vote, paid for by the committee to recall Kevin Cry.
The Stillwater Powwow is back at the Reading Rodeo Grounds, October 6th through 8th, with free admission for all ages. See beautiful dancers, hear powerful drummers, and experience the celebration of Native American culture and history. Proudly brought to you by the Reading Rancher and Winterville Resort and Casino. The Stillwater Powwow and the Reading Rodeo Grounds, October 6th through the 8th. For information, visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Brought to you by the Potters, this station, and other proud sponsors.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary, you just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Congratulations to all the volunteers and to the registered voters of District 1 in Shasta County. You took a stand against throwing away millions of your taxpayer dollars. Thousands of you signed the petition, and you put the recall of Supervisor Kevin Cry on the ballot. Soon we vote, paid for by the committee to recall Kevin Cry.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com here on the 3rd of October, 7:36 in the morning, 54 degrees out there. This portion of the show brought to you by Patrick Gorman, attorney at law. If you're not getting treatment for a work injury, give him a call at 530-262-2168 for a free consultation. Work injuries can change your life, change your family's lives. Employers may want to have you back to work because you're a valuable member of the team, yet for some reason there's delays or denials. You need somebody that's an expert in workers' compensation, and that's Patrick Gorman. 530-262-2168. Give him a call. I'm here with Wes Tucker, who is the commander of VFW Post 1934. Also, he's the Shasta County Veteran Service Officer, but he's got his VFW post on. And you're down, the VFW post is down in what I call ground zero. I call it the battlefield. You're down in Cypress Square Shopping Center.
Yeah, we're down there.
And you're kind of semi-surrounded by homeless camps. Even if the cops come through and roust them out, they'll come back in that day. It became a very much of a point when Jason Miller out of Lucky Miller said enough is enough. And the he even started his own security firm. I think it's Integrity Security.
Oh, okay.
Don't quote me on that. I have to go back and look at the card. And because he was getting awoke, he was getting awakened 70 times a night from people coming up to his business. Until he finally had to turn off his alerts. He said, I could never get any sleep. And other businesses down there complained and all these things. But it's come close to home now with you.
Yeah, we're members of our community. It's always close to home. But yeah, definitely. Caught us off guard. I'm somebody break our window out like that.
Okay, so tell people what happened.
So about 2 a.m., the gentleman broke our window, popped his head in, grabbed the donation jug that was right there. So popped out. Interesting thing is you really can't see it through those windows, so he's probably popped his head in here and there. This individual probably asking for water or something, walking around casing a little bit. So he's definitely been in the building before on the prowl. So just it's tough, but like you know, it for me it's really difficult. I was kind of talking to the news a little bit about this yesterday because we aren't just a. It's never okay to steal from a business, but we're not just a business. We take care of our older vets. We've installed air conditioning units. Some of our younger vets have in their homes. We've replaced air conditioning units for disabled veterans who can't afford the whole house AC replacement. We've actually picked up the bill. We worked with state and we worked with district and we found the money and we made it happen. We have widows that we take care of that their hot water heater's gone out. And so our post has paid for it and our members installed it. Same with the roof repair. So they didn't just steal from, you know, we've helped another member who was struggling around Christmas. We made sure Christmas happened for his family. So this individual didn't just steal from a bar or a canteen or a post. He stole from our widows. He stole from our vets in need. He stole from the families of the veterans. He stole from the patrons. And so makes me a little bit frustrated on that account because that's how I look at it for a community.
Were you able to identify the person at all or the police?
No, we haven't been able to identify who it is.
Well, and what you do, and it's probably come back to bite you now, was you let the homeless in to get some water and a clean up. I mean, you're being humanitarians. But once they're in there, they start looking around.
Yeah, a little bit tough. And we've also helped, and I'm not blaming anybody, but we've also helped some of the parolees, or not parolees, some of the people who have community service, court-ordered community service. We try to help them out as best as we can because that's what we do. That's why we exist, to help people.
So this money, so you're also still in a fundraising drive to finish paying for the move from your old location on Oregon Street to this one here in the Cypress Square Shopping Center.
Yeah, so exactly.
How's that going?
well, we have a little bit of a setback with this, but, you know, otherwise things are going well. We've had some really good community support, but we still owe about, I want to say it's about $15,000 to $16,000 for some of the repairs that we're still making, or some of the renovations that we're still making payments on. Great, great contractors have worked with us and allowed us to stretch this out. I don't know what contractor is going to let you pay over the next year or 2 years, you know. So we've had a lot. We've been really blessed and fortunate to have the community partners we have. But we're still raising money and making that happen. But at the same time, we can't push our mission to the side because at the end of the day, we exist to help veterans in need and their widows and their families. So we're still continuing with our mission and we're making our payments and we're clawing out of it.
Is it time for a GoFundMe page?
You know, we thought about doing the GoFundMe page during the COVID, and that's when I started looking into it. And bylaws for, I believe it's for the national, and it trickles down to state and obviously us. They don't let you do crowdfunding sources like that, so we can't use GoFundMe as a way to fundraise. We had already done that if we could.
It's a 501(c)(3).
Yeah, it's 501(c)(3). I think it's – I don't know if it's specific to the mutual benefit that we're a part of or if it's for the – if it's just specific to bylaws. I can't remember. It's been a while since I looked into it. But I reached out to the state quartermaster again, and it's just not something we'd be able to do.
So. Like Giving Tuesday.
Yeah, we can do Giving Tuesday. It's the crowdfunding.
Are you in Giving Tuesday?
I think this year we're going to be our first time doing it. Our quartermaster is actually working on it right now.
Okay, well, they had to get everything in, I think, last week.
Oh, he might have already got it in.
Okay. So then you'll fall under Giving Tuesday then, too. So maybe we can do, or y'all can get enough money for the completion. You know, pay everything off because it is much more than just people coming down there and having a burger and a beer. You know, you do so many other things. You help so many veterans in need that fall through the cracks otherwise.
I mean,
their air conditioning goes out, so they don't have the money for it, and you know they make too much money to they're living on subsistence, but they make too much money to have it handed to them by the state, who gets it away to everybody else. But then to go out and help the veteran families and help, they need books or whatever it is. I know the VFW Post does that.
Yeah, we've got, like I said, we had widows. We had a gentleman pass away, Bob Lee, a little over a year ago. Just amazing guy. He's been a long-term member of the Post. He's served in multiple roles. And him and his wife were absolute members, family. And so kind of making sure she knew that she's still a member, she's still family,
oh, sure.
And we're taking care of her. And so we've tried to take care of her and as with him being gone and take care of all those types of things for her. So when I see somebody steal from us, in my mind, you just stole from Betty, and I want to not,
yeah.
And I'm
yeah.
not happy about that.
Yeah, it's too bad you don't know who it is.
Yeah.
So you could tell the police.
Exactly what we would do.
Yeah. We're going to take a break here, and when we come back, I want to talk about the things that are going on at VFW Post. Thinking about purchasing an electric vehicle? Reading Electric Utility has rebates available that can help offset the cost of your vehicle and charging station. Visit cityofreading.org/EV for more information about local, state, and federal rebates available. Rebates to buy electric vehicles. Some people want electric vehicles. The one I've heard was very happy was with this hybrid. He says he's put like $64 worth of gas in it this year. So, but he only drives around town. And that, you know, so. But, REU, we'll be right back.
Love wants you. We can bring it on the floor. Never danced like this before. We don't talk about it. Dance alone.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Shout out to Reading Rancheria. Appreciate you guys for all your help. With the help that you guys gave us, we were able to stick around, retain some of our employees, and make sure all the customers got what they needed. Thank you, guys.
Hi there. Us here at the Post Office Saloon would like to thank the Reading Rancheria for supporting us and our community through the COVID pandemic.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
As a thank you for your outstanding service, Wind River Resort and Casino would like to honor you with our Military Monday promotion. Join us every Monday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. to receive your dining discounts and free slot play. Active or retired military members can present their military ID at the River Club to be entered into this weekly promotion. For more details, download the Wind River app or visit windriver.com. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Fall savings are underway at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Maximize your car wash savings with car wash packages starting at only $11. A clean car is essential to your safety, the safety of your passengers and even your vehicle, especially with smoke, soot, and debris in the air. Now's the time to bring your vehicle to Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
The official meeting of the business-to-business meeting is called to order. Business-to-business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No, business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win!
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Fight the break of dawn, come tomorrow.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and the Bot. 7:49 in the morning here on the 3rd of October, 56 degrees outside, maybe just a little warmer. My guess is Wes Tucker, who is the commander of VFW Post 1934, that just had their front window broken in and their donation jar stolen. And we talked about these. The VFW Post is more than burgers and beer. It goes out and helps a lot of veterans down on their luck, or that they just don't have enough money because of their status in life to do things like get their air conditioning repaired or get the books they need for school and these things. And so VFW Post steps up and does that. Now, you all are going to be part of Giving Tuesday, which is good. So, you know, that more people maybe become aware of it. But, okay, the VFW Post now, what do y'all – I know you're adding things all the time to it as far as Taco Tuesday, Burger Monday, you know, breakfast and all that. So give me a little rundown on that.
Well, today, if you want to come in and donate, come in and also have a taco. We got a Taco Tuesday going on. And Burger Monday, like you said. The last Sunday of the month, we have breakfast. We also have a event coming up, and we'll be pushing out information. It's a it's our 92nd birthday party, so we will have that. We have Semper Fi Catering is going to have a food truck there, so we wanted to help support another veteran business, and he wanted to support our VFW, so he came out. He's coming out.
Who's the owner of Semper Fi Catering?
Can't remember his name off the top of my head. I spoke to him. I've only spoken to him once or twice. He's one of our quartermasters. A good connection with him. So,
okay.
So we'll have live music. If weather's permitting, we should have some older vehicles out there possibly. So, some classic cars. So, yeah.
And when's that going to be?
That is November 19th at 11 o'clock.
Okay. Marine Corps Ball is coming November 10th. I hope you're planning on attending.
Yeah, I need to get my tickets still, but I plan on attending.
Well, I just happen to have a we're going to do Eventbrite. So you just do Eventbrite, and I have some cards, and I'll get some down to you.
Oh, perfect.
You just have to do is, you know, put it on your camera.
Yeah, I told my wife we'd be going. She's excited. So.
Oh, good. Well, it's always a good time. In fact, everybody, Marine Corps Ball is coming November 10th, and you're going to hear more about it. But we limit it to 300 people, and it's sold out. So it's $35 a ticket, but that includes dinner and ceremonies, dessert, and
all the
ceremonies that we have to honor the Marine Corps birthday, guest of honor, you know, guest speaker, the oldest, the youngest, and you know, the pipes and drums, the whole enchilada, as we say.
My wife asked if I was going to wear my dress uniform for it, and I said not unless everybody has safety goggles, because those buttons are going to be killing some folks. They're shooting off, man.
Hey, okay, put your other hat on for a second. Oh, by the way, if people want to help replace those donations, what do they do?
So if you want to help out with
that. Stolen down there in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, which we know is kind of ground zero.
If you want to help out with the replacement of the window, or if you want to help out by donating to the VFW, our website, VFW Post 1934, so that's VFW Post 1934.com, and there's a donate button there, and you can either pick one of the designated buttons. So we have some that are already up there, and you can just click on it and then work through putting your information, or there's a one that says $0, and you can actually do a custom amount, so you can type in how much you want to give, and you can do it that way.
Okay. All right. So what's the latest over at the VSO office?
Well, I'm excited about this morning at 9 o'clock, and we, if you look at the Board of Supervisors agenda, we are before open time, so we'll be able to So if you don't have a lot of time, you can come in before open time at 9 o'clock. We'll do the Pledge of Allegiance, the opening vindication, and then we're going to do a proclamation that honors Desert Storm and Global War on Terrorism veterans. And so I'm really excited about this because we've done a lot of Korean War, Vietnam, World War II in the county. But from my understanding, this is the first one we've ever done for Desert Storm, Global War on Terrorism. So I'll be speaking a little bit about how...
I'll take that personally then.
There you go. Yeah, well, I did it because I was like, you know what? I don't have enough clout with Carl Bott. I need to get some more clout.
Now, add Somali and Bosnia in there. Yeah. I'm telling you,
I was going to break those up.
Kind. Yeah, four of a kind there.
I was going to break those up so I could have you come back a bunch of times to get cheered for.
Well, by the day, today is the anniversary of Black Hawk Down. In Mogadishu on this mid-afternoon, October 3rd, 1993. The Delta Force and the Rangers went in to take down some of Adid's people, and it turned into a overnight battle that ended up with 18 soldiers being killed and 73 wounded. Two Medals of Honor were awarded to two of the Delta guys that went out to try and rescue one of the helicopter pilots that had been wounded and was stuck in his aircraft, one of the two Black Hawk Down. For their actions in combat, they both received the Medal of Honor.
Posthumously, right?
Posthumously, oh yeah. I think they had 60 awards for soldiers who fought during Operation Gothic Serpent, which was the Battle of Mogadishu. The bottom line on this is after that, Clinton pulled everybody out. Marines have been in there first, and we established order. I mean, Adid was his way of handling it was starving people to death, and that's what they use food as a weapon. And then the warlords were fighting it out, and George Bush, the senior, said, "We need to do something." And I don't know what does Somali have oil? No. Does it have diamonds? No. I mean, I'm not sure. You know, everybody goes, oh, we do everything for our own interest. I'm sure I could be wrong about this, but it seems like this time we actually went in to save people's lives. So I spent Thanksgiving, Christmas, and time after that in the dish.
Yeah.
The good thing was is that we got it under control. People were getting fed. We probably saved a generation. The bad thing is after Black Hawk Down, it went right back to what it was. And
yeah.
So,
have you ever seen the real life stories on those Black Hawk Down Delta Force guys and Rangers?
I sure was one of them.
Oh,
later
yeah.
on, doing guys. Contract work. The guy that, in fact, he's the one that was in the helicopter went down. The first helicopter, first Black Hawk went down. He was rescued.
Some of the stories of the bravery of those guys are just is insane.
Well, it was the whole thing. The bravery will never be, and there's a question, but the whole operation, the way it was planned, was strange. There were no supporting arms. There were no backup just in case something like this happened. And that Ranger battalion got their butts handed to them out there. And if you've ever been in Mogadishu, the movie captures it.
Oh, really?
Oh, captures the buildings, the fact that they couldn't talk to each other. Made some huge changes in the way we communicate. In an urban environment, the Marine Corps Warfighting Lab got into that one big time in communications and passing information and be able to fight the three-block war.
It's interesting to hear you talk about it from that standpoint because you're a field grade officer, lieutenant colonel guy, and I'm the sergeant, boots on the ground, so I'm always thinking about the guy. I'm thinking about the individual, the guy leading the troops and all that, and the troops going into it. And so to think about it from each standpoint is really interesting.
Well, we were the good thing, I guess if there's a good thing about Somalia, was we did rescue a generation of people. We got the food out. We hit a Dietz compound on New Year's Day.
Oh, wow.
And just, we sat there and watched that and the battle going on for that. And the fact is after we left, Adid declared war on the UN force, and they were just, when Delta and the Rangers went in there, they were just totally, I mean, it had not happened before, and the whole city turned. Mm-hmm. And when if you, like I said, if you've ever been down there on the in places like Mogadishu, just look at the movie captured the streets and the city itself really, really well. So anyway, okay, today proclamation for the war on terror.
Yep, and this war on terror. So Iraq, Afghanistan, Djibouti, people who served in Northern Africa in the time frame.
Uh-huh.
We people who served even in European theater if they were doing support for the global war on terror, mm-hmm. Navy guys who are in the Persian Gulf. We would love to have you out there. We'd love to honor you for what you've done. You know, it's less than 1% of the population who joins the military anymore. We're not doing off giraffes, and we're doing off of volunteers.
Not yet.
Hey, you know what?
Not yet.
FDR said that no, there's nothing stronger than the heart of a volunteer. So
there you go. Okay. All right. So head on down to the border super, and you can leave before the circus starts after the proclamation if you want to. All right. When we come back, I think we got Liberties for Mom or Moms for Liberty.
Had decried as a sweetheart deal for the presidential son. The next Republican presidential primary debate, the Trump camp says, forget about it.
Trump campaign senior advisors are calling on Republican Party officials to immediately cancel the upcoming debate, even though the former president is not planning to participate. The advisors said the GOP should end all future debates so the party can focus on and prevent Democrats' efforts to steal the 2024 election. The statement came on the same day an angry Donald Trump showed up for the start of a New York City trial in his fraud lawsuit. Greg Clugston, Washington.
A Texas congressman carjacked just a short distance from the U.S. Capitol.
The office of Texas Democrat Henry Cuellar says the congressman was parking his car Monday evening when three armed assailants approached him and stole his vehicle. Cuellar's chief of staff says the congressman was not harmed and is working with local law enforcement. The Washington Post is reporting that the robbery happened in Washington's Navy Yard area, about 1 mile from the U.S. Capitol. Cuellar's chief of staff says the vehicle has been recovered. Donna Ward, Washington.
It was a fingerprint on a ransom note that New York State police say led them to the kidnapper of a 9-year-old girl. Rescued, she's now back with her family safe and sound. There is a 47-year-old suspect under arrest, and last word, charges were pending in that case. The sell-off continues on Wall Street this hour. The Dow down 358 points. NASDAQ is off 228. More on these stories, townhall.com.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your 444
indicted Russia's Putin for war crimes stemming from the deportation of children from Ukraine. The move likely to further strain Armenia's deteriorating relations with its ally Russia. Last month, Russia called Armenia's drive to join the ICC an unfriendly step. Townhall.com. Vice President Harris to do the honors when LaFonza Butler is sworn in this week to serve in the U.S. Senate.
California Governor Gavin Newsom selected a longtime abortion advocate to fill the seat vacated last week with the passing of longtime California Senator Dianne Feinstein. The 44-year-old Butler makes history as the first black lesbian and the first LGBTQ person to represent California in the upper chamber. She's only the third black woman elected to the Senate. She'll be sworn in by Kamala Harris, who also represented California there until she left.
Slight chance of showers, partly sunny with a high near 77 degrees. Beautiful weather. It's a good time to do a lot of things. We were on our way to Las Vegas for a birthday celebration, but it doesn't look like we're making it now for a variety of reasons. The Weather reports are always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, family-owned business out of Anderson, been doing this for a couple of decades. Besides just giving outstanding service, because that's what it's about, because all the gas is propane's the same. It's the service, and they give just outstanding service. They give discounts for seniors and veterans. They have payment plans, locally owned, locally operated, and it's a veteran-owned business, the Kinney family. That's Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call at 530-365-3793. Leslie is on the line. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, Carl.
Mom,
thanks for having us.
You bet. Moms for Liberty.
Yes.
And in the studio is Arthur Gorman, who is identifying as a mom today.
That's right.
Hey, we can identify any damn way we want. So, okay.
Yeah,
anyway.
And you know what? The dads with Moms for Liberty have the coolest shirt. I'm jealous. The best shirt in our entire organization is for dads.
So. Okay. What is Moms for Liberty, Leslie?
Moms for Liberty is an organization that defends parental rights. That's their number one and really only goal. And it was started by two women in Florida who were school board members. And when the pandemic shut everything down and people started being aware of what's going on in the classrooms and what's going on in their school systems, they had been on the inside of that. And they said, you know what, there needs to be a group that will be the voice for these parents who are getting kicked out of the board meetings and having like the Department of Justice called on them. And so, they started basically a support group for all those moms, and that just grew.
Well, you know, the big thing is parental rights. What do parents have the right to know about in schools? What rights do parents have in deciding curriculum, books? All of that. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? There have been studies after studies after studies after studies that show that kids are more successful when they have parental involvement. And yes, there are situations with kids who don't have good home lives and don't have good parents. But unfortunately, that's something that happens in this world. And the majority of kids do better with parental involvement. And by parents being involved and parents being aware of what's going on and what's being taught, we can protect those kids that don't have good home life and don't have parents who care to get involved. And that's why people like Arthur and Katie are so amazing. Their kids are in a private school. They know their kids are safe, but they are fighting for kids in public education because there are so many kids and way too many kids in our community that don't have parents that either A, can get involved, or B, don't want to.
Well, the people that are saying is that parents shouldn't have those rights is they're saying parents don't know what's best for their kids because they're not trained educators. They've got, offering books in the libraries and all this is something that you just need to accept because they know better.
No, and you know who one of the biggest proponents or advocates for having every access to every book in the libraries is the Obamas. And that just sickens me because they are such a huge part of the divide that's in our country now. And for them to push and say, we know better than parents and parents should have no say, just it makes me so sick because Arthur has some of the screenshots and maybe he can show you there. But there's a county on the East Coast that has started a national book ban awareness week. And they are doing it in response to the fact that the counties have read these books and are removing the books from school. We are not banning books. We are removing pornography. And pornography, distribution of pornography to minors, is illegal in all 50 states, including California, no matter what Gavin Newsom says.
Well, I read, I saw what a senator read in for the record in the Senate, a book that was in the elementary schools about anal sex, and then another one about lesbian sex that it was very, very graphic. Some people can say it's pornographic, but it was very graphic. And what it was doing in elementary schools was the battle. You know, why is it there?
Exactly.
How do you explain to your kid when they come home and say, what's it mean to, you know, for what's anal sex mean? I just read it in a book.
Yeah. Well, and there's one
screenshot. Well, then you can explain
screenshot.
It to them, I guess.
There's one screenshot that this group, I actually had to ask my friend that's in South Carolina fighting this battle, if the group was satire. Because there was no way what they were posting was legit. They were saying, why would you even ban this book? This book should be available to everybody. And the book was about raping an infant. The book had graphic details about removing the baby's pamper. And that should not be available in a school. There is absolutely no way. That is child abuse. That's rape. That is sick beyond sick on every level. And their post was like, why would anybody even want to remove this book?
Right. The book was named Push.
Me? Push? Push. And it was in elementary schools?
Correct.
Yeah. Well, and you know what I will say for Shasta County is I was so sickened when I read that post in that book. I got online immediately and I looked in all of our Shasta County libraries, the schools that are available online, and in the Shasta Library, the Reading City Library, and that book is not on the shelves in any of those schools, which is good.
Are there other books in the schools that you disagree with?
Yes. There is one called Forever, and it is a Judy Blume book. And a lot of the Judy Blume books are really popular with young girls, and they're really, you know, they're really well-written books. But there's this one called Forever, and it is a book about her relationship with this boy, and there are multiple graphic love scenes in that book, and that book is rated a 4.1 reading level, which means it is intended for fourth graders. And there are so many parts in that book that if my daughter, who is in fourth grade, was to bring that book home and read that book, I would be so appalled and I would be furious, because one of the
Not against banning books. Period. You're just saying we ought to have grade appropriate books. Like if that was in
grade
a high
appropriate.
School, if that was up in the high school level, would you have a problem with it?
I would, only because the graphic extent of the love scene, pornography, and the distribution of pornography to minors is illegal in the state of California. It is illegal in all 50 states. So if it is something that you need to be 18 to rent or buy as an adult, it needs to not be available to our kids in the library. So I think that if it is graphic pornography and it goes into pornographic detail, it needs to not be on the schools of our public libraries or on the shelves of our public libraries.
Yeah, if you can't go to the movies and watch it without your parents' consent, then you shouldn't be able to pick it up from the library.
Yeah, that makes sense. Must be 18 to enter or something like that.
Yeah.
We got to take a break here. And we're talking with Moms for Liberty, and it's not censorship. It's not the feeling I'm getting. They're totally against any type of pornography on the shelves of public schools and libraries. Some people used to think that Lady Chatterley's Lover and Catcher in the Rye were pornographic. And obviously by today's standards, they are not by any means.
Right.
And they tried to, in fact, they did ban them for a long time, that and many of the books. Is it just the, and just think about this, because I've got to take a break. Is it just something, you know, the difference between books like that and the books you're talking about when we come back?
Absolutely, and I have a great example.
When we come back. Yeah. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. I've been there for 30 years. Large walk-in humidor, hand-rolled and machine-made cigars, beer and wine. They have pipes, pipe tobacco. They have it all for you connoisseurs of tobacco. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. You can give them a call at 530-223-2049. They're outstanding cigars. We'll be right back.
Congratulations to all the volunteers and to the registered voters of District 1 in Shasta County. You took a stand against throwing away millions of your taxpayer dollars. Thousands of you signed the petition, and you put the recall of Supervisor Kevin Cry on the ballot. Soon we vote, paid for by the committee to recall Kevin Cry.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org, and they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with the promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with the promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Thank you to all our amazing guests for voting us Best in the North State 2022 in multiple categories. We couldn't have done it without you. Voted Best Casino, Best Employer of over 500 employees, and Best Place to Dance for the 2022 Best of the North State Awards. Come down and join us for all the fun and exciting events and promotions we have going on in 2023. After 30 years, we're still the one. For more information on all upcoming events, see WinRiver.com. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Congratulations to all the volunteers and to the registered voters of District 1 in Shasta County. You took a stand against throwing away millions of your taxpayer dollars. Thousands of you signed the petition, and you put the recall of Supervisor Kevin Cry on the ballot. Soon we vote, paid for by the committee to recall Kevin Cry.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl Lindebaugh. Today, the 3rd of October, it's 8:20 out there, about 60 degrees, going to be a beautiful day. Weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, and this portion of the show brought to you by NorCal Tractor and Equipment for all your Kubota needs. Locally owned, locally operated, young couple that own that, they're very involved in our community, plus they provide just outstanding service for all your needs. You do it all, they do it local. So whatever you're looking for, tractors and from all sizes, from the kind you put in your backyard to the kind you use for big projects, skid steers, backhoes, side-by-sides, and so much more. They're located at 2540 Gateway Drive in Anderson. You can give them a call at 530-221-6800. And I'm here today with Moms for Liberty and Leslie Sawyer and Arthur Gorman, who is dads with Moms for Liberty.
Dads and grandpas and uncles.
Okay. And so he's identifying today. They're talking about the fact that there's books on shelves of your school, not local schools maybe, but on schools across the country that are very graphic when it comes to all forms of sex, and in fact could be labeled pornographic, and are being provided to kids of all grades. Not just your older teens, but also elementary and middle school kids. And there's a problem with that. And yet, if you raise your hand and say, you know, I have a real problem with this graphic description of oral sex in my fourth graders' reading literature, that I'm deemed a Nazi and I want to burn books. What do you say to that?
Well, and it's ridiculous because we're not the ones that are banning books. We want pornography removed. But the other side, and I don't even know who to list it as, because I don't know who does this and why they even would want to. But I'm just going to say the other side. The other side has actually made a move to ban The Diary of Anne Frank, because they said that it glorifies the Holocaust and it's too graphic for children. So instead, what they did was they put out a graphic novel, which is like a comic book version of a story,
mm-hmm.
and they put out a graphic novel of The Diary of Anne Frank. And in this graphic novel, there's two different scenes where one, she's laying with her friend, and they're doing like a sleepover or something, and she rolls over to her friend and says, can we show each other our boobs? And her friend, like, pulls up the blankets and is like, what? And she's like, oh, as a sign of our friendship. And her friend rolls away and is like, no. And then there's, like, a thought bubble above Anne's head, and it says, if she only knew how bad I want to kiss her right now.
Was that in the original diary? Was that anywhere in the diary?
No. And that's what I'm saying is I don't know who this other side is, and I don't know who it is that really is pushing into the narrative that all of us, you know, book ban Barbies are out there trying to destroy the literacy of America, when they're the ones that are banning an actual diary, an actual historical document, and instead putting in place something that's not historically accurate, that is obviously pushing an agenda. And another scene in that same book, she's walking down a corridor of statues and has another little thought bubble that says, I wish somebody knew how turned on I am by the figure of a woman. That is not in the diary either. Nowhere in there.
This is purported to be The Diary of Anne Frank. Is that the name of this?
Yes. The name of the book is The Graphic Novel of The Diary of Anne Frank.
She was, what, 13 or 14 when she died, right?
13? Yes. And nowhere in there does it say she struggles with her sexuality. Nowhere in there does it say she thought she was a lesbian and had these thoughts. Yet they pulled out so much of the historical content from the book in the guise of protecting kids from the graphic details of the Holocaust, yet then are pushing a complete leftist agenda. And there, you can't even argue that that's not what's happening.
Well,
so we're not banning books. They're banning books and changing history. We are removing pornography. We have not pushed to ban any books that are not graphic and pornographic in nature.
And really, as parents, we need to be going to our school boards and asking them to curate and put age-appropriate books in there for our kids.
What do the school boards say?
So I'm on the Shasta County School Board of Education, and I don't speak for the entire board, but I do speak for myself. And we're responsible for implementing curriculum and doing a few other things. But as boards, we enact policy. So we can push forth policy, and we can create ad hoc committees to review the books that we have on our shelves and make them age-appropriate. They can go through there. They can look at these graphic novels, and they can put a label on them to see if they're age-appropriate for elementary, junior high, high school, and that's what they really should be doing, because we already do that with our movies, and we already do that with other things in our life, that kids can't go onto certain websites without being a certain age. There's already age-appropriate material that's been established in past practice, so that's what school boards need to do. And being in school board, I didn't realize the power that has as far as, like, passing policy. And that's really what we're there to do, to pass policy for our constituents.
Yeah, because the, according to Judy Flores, she has no power. I could be wrong.
And that's what
she has no power at the Board of Education. It all comes down to the local boards of education.
So that's a half-truth.
Okay.
So
what's the other half?
So if you're on a regular school district board, which isn't the county board, if you're on a regular school district board, every school board is independent of each other and can pass their own policies, which is great because that means that the people in that district can file grievances and get policies passed in their own district.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic. They can go to their board members that they've elected, and that's what they should do, and that's why we're encouraging all these 24 school districts in Shasta County. There's going to be 48 positions open, and we're trying to get conservatives to run for those positions. But so they can actually, they have more hands-on in those individual school boards to create ad hoc committees to go and look through these books to make sure that they're age-appropriate. Where at the county level, Judy is only responsible for her county employees.
Mm-hmm.
It's different in the county because she's an elected official and the school board is an elected official. So she has
I understand.
Yeah,
you know, so everybody was holding her responsible for everything, and she says, I can't tell them to buy a book.
Right. There's no
She has nothing. Now, let me ask.
The jurisdiction is the issue.
Well, let me ask this. I don't see where I would think that all parents, and I'm surprised that this is even going on, that a parent sees something that is obviously pornographic or it's not age appropriate. Let's just say it's not age appropriate. Are you going to have making a neutron bomb at the second grade? I mean, there's nothing pornographic about it, but is it age appropriate? You know, I mean,
correct.
No, it's not. You may want to, or the internal combustion engine. So maybe when you get up to middle school, you know, and grasping it. But
yeah.
I would think that there should be people that go through there. Is this age appropriate for our kids? We're not banning them. We're just saying it's not.
Right.
This is not a spot. You know, the Anne Frank graphic novel, Anne Frank's diary graphic novel probably isn't appropriate.
Right.
I don't think it's appropriate at all, frankly, because if they've added things that were not in the diary.
And it's not banning, it's curating.
Yeah, it's, yeah. And I would just take that one and just say this is false. There's no proof at all that this is the way she thought, and yet you're saying this to millions of people that she said that, you know, she's a lesbian. Well, there's nothing in there that indicates that.
Right.
So, but
well,
age-appropriate stuff
is
what we're talking
great,
about.
Correct.
Yeah, age-appropriate. And you know what? In defense of those working in our county and school libraries, and in defense of the admin, because I really want to be fair to, you know, the boards and not rile up parents to be like, what the heck, what are you doing? I honestly, and this is going to be Moms for Liberty Shasta County's approach, I honestly don't know that many of them are aware. I don't know that the blame goes to the individual districts and the individual admin for having this stuff on the shelves, because the California Library Association and the National Library Association both have an agenda, and if you look at who runs those organizations, they are extreme advocates for all things left. And
I think one of them is
agenda.
I think the head of the Library Association is a Marxist, and they're having states pull out of the American Library Association because of her very, very radical views.
It's true.
That she's put on Facebook and other things.
Pulling out all over. Yes.
You know, kids in schools, already we've got a truancy rate that is horrendous. And I ought to ask you about that, Arthur. You're on the county school board. It's horrendous, and it's not getting better. It's getting worse. And then, you know, to me, a school is a safe place.
Right.
It's a safe place for kids to be together where they're not going to be bullied. They're not going to be assaulted. They're able to go to the library and lose themselves in the library like I used to when I was a kid. And as a parent, I don't have to worry about my 8-year-old reading sexual passages that, frankly, We've touched on it, but not in the graphic portion of it. I think the kids should be, you know, it should almost be like a safety sphere in our schools. And it's not saying that book's not age appropriate at some time. That's fine. But having a group that goes through there and say age appropriate, not age appropriate, I don't understand why that's not being done.
Right. And it should be done at every school district.
Now, the county could say, here's our edict. You will have an ad hoc group of volunteers that's being supervised by somebody in administration that will go through your books and see which are age appropriate and which isn't. And if you can't agree on it, then we'll kick it up to the next level.
So it's funny that you mentioned that, because that's what exactly Governor Newsom somewhat suggested. He put it in the Williams Act. And the Williams Act is saying that your school maybe it doesn't have the greatest facilities. But he put it that maybe your school doesn't have the greatest curriculum or books in it. So he wants to pass a law that says if two kids in the school think that you don't have a book that they would like to have, then you can file a Williams Act complaint. So they did it on the other end of the far left, saying, hey, you know, I want some of these graphic novels for my fourth grader, and you don't have it. And so if two or more came in, they could file a Williams Act complaint and try to find the school. But then at the same token, you could have two Christian conservative parents go and say, hey, you don't have the Holy Bible in my kid's school. It's a historical document, and I'll file a Williams complaint. So everybody's playing this back and forth.
Am I past the break? Why don't you say something? No, you're in there BSing with Nick. Nick, get out of my production room. Get out of my production room. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, where your son works. This is the greatest barbershop, in my opinion, in Reading. I've been going there since I've moved here. Never had a bad haircut. It's better known. They give discounts for seniors and veterans. They work by appointments. But if you walk in and they've got a spot there for you, they'll just let you hop in the chair and give you a great haircut. You can give them a call at 530-244-9478. Man's Last Stronghold. It's in the Cypress Square Shopping Center across the parking lot from Lucky Miller's. We'll be right back.
Congratulations to all the volunteers and to the registered voters of District 1 in Shasta County. You took a stand against throwing away millions of your taxpayer dollars. Thousands of you signed the petition, and you put the recall of Supervisor Kevin Cry on the ballot. Soon we vote, paid for by the Committee to Recall Kevin Cry.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
now at Black Bear Diner. Enjoy four new buttermilk biscuit creations. So huge, so monumental, you're going to need a fork and knife to enjoy them. Each featuring our enormous, baked, fresh in our kitchen every day buttermilk biscuits. The baby burn chicken fried steak. The savory tri-tip benedict. The hot honey crispy chicken. The colossal breakfast club. So get to Black Bear Diner today and grab your fork and knife for a limited time only.
Black Bear Diner.
Mark your calendars and buckle up for the Cadillac CT5 giveaway. At Wind River Resort and Casino. Play any of our exciting table games with your River Club card to earn entry. Weekly drawings every Friday and Saturday from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. starting October 6th. All weekly drawing winners receive $200 in chips. Entries multiply as the weeks go on. Join us for the final drawing at 10 p.m. on Saturday, December 23rd for your chance to drive away in the car of your dreams. For details, go to windriver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Congratulations to all the volunteers and to the registered voters of District 1 in Shasta County. You took a stand against throwing away millions of your taxpayer dollars. Thousands of you signed the petition and you put the recall of Supervisor Kevin Cry on the ballot. Soon we vote, paid for by the committee to recall Kevin Cry.
How appropriate the song that we're playing, Baby Don't Hurt Me. Baby, protect the kids. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. With Carl and DeBod, it's 8:38 in the morning here on Tuesday the 3rd. And we're talking with Leslie Sawyer and Arthur Gorman for Moms for Liberty. And their big push is putting age-appropriate literature in schools.
That's right.
Not to ban, but to, you know, let's take a look. Do we really want to have a very graphic sexual passage in a second and third graders reading collection there at the local library? And I would just say probably not. You know, I wouldn't have, if I had kids in there today, I'd say no. No, that's not age appropriate. You know, it's maybe when you're up into, you know, high school or something like that, then they've been exposed to a lot.
Right.
But what about, do y'all get involved in parental rights besides just books in libraries?
Yes.
Either one of you.
Yeah. Oh, glad you asked. There actually is going to be several initiatives that we're gathering signatures that, to go on the ballot in mm-hmm. California. Hopefully maybe in the March primary, but maybe in the general election.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to protectkidsca.com,
mm-hmm.
That's protectkidsca.com. You can go on there, and there's three state...
.org.
.org, not .com.
Oh, I mean, it's .com. .com.
Oh, is it? Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, you were wrong, Leslie.
Is it?
Okay.
I am wrong.
Score one for the day.
We've got you on silence now.
Right.
Okay. .com. Okay, get the whole thing again since we've all confused.
So, protectkidsca.com.
.com. Okay.
So if you go there.
What's that for?
It's a three statewide ballot initiatives in California for that would require parental notification from schools, protect girls' sports, and prevent children's sterilization.
Okay.
And so we're in, when it comes, and Leslie can chime in here anytime as well, but parents' rights for the notification from school. I mean, you've probably seen that in Southern California from a couple lawsuits. Chico had a lawsuit.
They ended up, the school board didn't want to take it to court, and instead ended up paying $100,000 to a mom when they didn't tell her that her daughter transitioning in school, and then her daughter changed her mind, and mom got $100,000 because the school hadn't said anything to her.
And the thing with that is they enact these policies, just like school boards do, or organizations. And so really all the school board would have to say to end this dispute that's going on and say anytime, because they already do it for medical reasons. So anytime that my kid goes into the office for a Tylenol, ibuprofen, stubbed toe, fell off the monkey bars, they call and say, oh, your child was here. They hurt their arm. We gave them an IV. Can we give them an ibuprofen or a Tylenol? So they're just calling me to inform me that that my child checked in. But the policy is much different for mental health. So if my child checks in for mental health, they don't have to call me and say, hey, we just want to let you know that little Jimmy or little Sally checked in with the school psychologist, so maybe you should talk to them when they get home. Well, that would be reasonable, right? But they aren't going to tell you if it's a mental health, but if it's a medical reason, they will tell you.
And this is maybe it's an urban myth, but I've heard it for a long time, that girls can get abortions.
Correct.
Via the school without parents ever knowing. Is that true?
It's true because...
Is that true?
So
I don't know that it's via the school, but they can via the state of California.
Older than 12.
Yeah. Okay, if they're older than 12 and the parents will never know about it.
Correct.
But the school has to facilitate it.
The school can facilitate it.
No, not always.
Okay.
I don't know that there's, at least in our community, I don't know that there's been any examples of a school facilitating an abortion. Granted, California law would protect them if they did. California law has stuff that protects them from even taking your kid off campus if it's for a mental health type situation, or the safety of the child. So they are protected by California law for doing that. I just would be careful to say that it is happening in Shasta County because I don't know of any cases where.
Okay, now here's...
And I want to be fair.
Oh, yeah, I mean... There's some cases, but it doesn't mean it's happening everywhere, of course. But the thing about, I remember the one from Chico, where the girl was becoming a boy at school,
mm-hmm.
would come in and change clothes, be called by a boy's name, dress in boy's clothes, and when school was over, she changed back into girl's clothes and go home. And the school kept it from the mom, and it took all of like 2 days. For another mom to call and say, hey, do you know this is going on?
Right.
I mean, it's not like they're going to keep it secret.
Right. And even the girl said
right.
that she would like to tell her parents, but the counselor was saying, you know, your parents just wouldn't understand. It's like, if you're going to tell someone's child that your parents are going to stand you and aren't going to love you, you might have an angry mama bear on the other side when they find out that your school's been telling your child that you don't love them and that you don't understand them.
And in fact, the governor of California says, or the attorney general says, that if a school does let parents be notified, that they're going to sue them.
Right.
They said because it falls under the civil rights of being able to have your privacy and the kid having her privacy and all this, and that the parents
right.
parents don't need to know about that. It's not a big thing.
So that's where...
So here would be my argument on that. One, if that same attorney general is going to hold parents accountable for their kid not showing up to school, and they are going to have legal ramifications for their kid not showing up and them not getting their ADA money, then that same attorney general needs to hold the parental rights at a higher value, because if that parent is legally responsible for that kid getting to school, that parent is also legally responsible for that child's day-to-day medical, mental health, everything needs, because you cannot, that is a complete double standard. You cannot hold the parents accountable on one end and then say you do not get to have a say or information on the other.
My thing on this is... I don't have kids in school, and I'm glad I don't. Not today. It would just be – it's just almost too much. And I applaud you all who have kids in school that are hanging in there and fighting for your rights. The thing about this is it's – they're basing this on maybe a very small percentage of parents who would be jerks, where the
Absolutely.
Vast majority of parents would want to be there to help one way or the other. They might have a tough time accepting that Joe wants to become Mary. But you know, this is such a family thing. They've got to be involved. At the same time, there's got to be counseling that is there for right. the family. You know, I mean, you just can't say, well, this is going on. If they're going to say, we're going to facilitate this, then, but we're also providing counseling, at least have that.
Right, and that's
but
part
to
of
not,
it.
But right. not to tell the parents on a huge thing.
And that's part like of the initiative, requiring schools to notify parents regarding children's mental health concerns, including identified in the school setting, including gender identity issues. So
yeah.
just tell the parent that they checked in.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with
right.
that. And then we, as parents, can come in and say, hey, what was that all about? And we can get you the services that you need.
Yeah, they can, you know, they could do, hey, your child checked in today, but, you know, we're not, and you could tell the child, we're going to tell your parents, we're not going to tell them what we talked about. That's going to be totally up to you.
Right.
And if you're not right. comfortable talking about it right now, maybe you will sometime. But yeah. at least the parents knows that, hey, you know, my kid needs help.
And a lot of these folks with the mental health issues, they end up having suicidal ideation because they're not getting the help that they need.
Yeah.
So we can get them
the
help.
The
suicide
rate yeah. is horrendous.
And then
if you look at it, the suicide rate does not decrease after transition.
No, I know that.
Look at that, because that's the one thing that keeps being thrown in our faces, is would you rather have a dead daughter or a live son if your kid wants to transition? Well, one, most of these students that are being pushed to transition either are a kid who, like me, I would wear some of the boy clothing when I was younger or hang out with the guys because they were more fun than the girls. That didn't make me a boy.
I'm
the most girly girl ever. But would that, if that was in today's time, would I have been told by my counselor that I was in the wrong body and thought, pushed to think that? And that's what's happening. And so our students are not being allowed to just be kids. And that's where, and this goes back to the books and everything else. Stop sexualizing our kids. Talk to them about things that are age appropriate. If an 8-year-old boy wants to wear Barbie shoes because they think they're cool and they light up and they're pink and sparkly, let him wear the Barbie shoes. Do not tell him that he's in the wrong body because he's 8 and wants to wear Barbie shoes. Let him be 8. An 8-year-old doesn't need to be worried about his sexuality. An 8-year-old doesn't need to be worried about whether he's going to be straight, gay, whatever. An 8-year-old needs to worry about going to school, learning to read, learning to write, being healthy,
zipping
developing healthy
up.
Lifestyle yeah. habits.
Zipping his pants up after he goes to the bathroom. You know, of course, that goes to the rest of his
washing
life.
Washing your hands after going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Like, there's things that kids need to learn. Stop sexualizing kids. These conversations just don't even need to be happening.
Hey, are we having any drag queen things going on in our schools?
Not in our schools, but the Civic Center is hosting a big one at Christmas time, and a lot of their advertisements and stuff is geared toward family-friendly Christmas
show. If they're on the stage, because, I mean, drag shows are funny. I mean, if you've ever been to one, they're really quite entertaining.
Would you say they're age-appropriate for children?
But, well, I don't know. You know, see, I've never seen children in those, you know, and so I don't know what's age-appropriate is for children. You know, you take your kids there and, you know, do they even understand that these are guys dressed up like girls or girls dressed up
right.
like guys? Do they even understand that? I think at the end they probably unmask.
Well, I would argue, I mean, I know, for example, when I was a kid, Red Bluff would put on the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, yeah.
On a regular at the yeah. State Theater. Do you remember that?
Axiom is doing it again. It's starting soon. And we're going to be there.
Yeah. But I remember being in high school and going to that and my parents being livid when they found out because they're like, that is not age appropriate. That's not acceptable. And Rocky Horror Picture Show is so much more tame than these drag shows that are being put on.
Yeah,
and Rocky Horror Picture Show was not pushing an agenda.
No, it's not. So, okay. So your advice to parents is?
Get involved.
Get involved.
If you're interested, Moms for Liberty meets once a month. We have people that are assigned to each district board. Those parents are going to be going in with lists. We have people who are sitting at home combing through the library catalogs. and those parents are going to be going to the different libraries and presenting to the boards, or not the libraries, the boards, and presenting, hey, this is the list, this is what we found in your school. We want to make them aware, we want to give them the benefit of the doubt. So as parents, you can get involved. You can either just start showing up, start asking questions, start asking to see the curriculum, or you can reach out to us. We have a Facebook group. You can reach out to me specifically. You can reach out to Author or Katie. And we will be more than happy to get you connected. They can reach out to our Facebook group, which is Moms for Liberty Shasta County. It is a private Facebook group, and you will have to answer questions to get into it. Or you can call or text me, 530-209-5903, anytime.
Okay.
We are more than happy to get you connected.
I've got 2 or 3 minutes because I'm going to end this early because I want to talk about the Black Hawk Down. But are you getting a lot of hate mail and people attacking you all for this?
Absolutely. We have a group here in Shasta County that's called Stop Moms for Liberty. It's a national group that's the same as Moms for Liberty, but the opposite. They put out these little token things all over town that say Stop Moms for Liberty. They have been putting out stuff on social media for us, about us, for months, giving us credit for things we're not even doing. I've gotten some threats. Katie's gotten some super threats. I know authors
have been calling our work and writing our work emails, trying to get us fired.
Yep, author's gotten a brunt of it, and a lot of what's being said about author online is terrible and nasty. Trying to use it, and Dignity Health's equality policies against him to get him fired, saying that he's part of a hate group. The vitriol against it is ridiculous. When not one of these people, one of them I called out specifically and I said, let's meet, let's talk about Moms for Liberty. Because if you knew what we stood for and you knew what we were doing, I think your view would be different. And she said, nope, I'm not interested. I won't talk to you about that. We'll never see eye to eye. And then that was the last of the conversation.
Well, at least you got an answer, because when they, we went through this for a while, and this one lady was telling everybody how Linda and I were horrible. So I just went back on her Facebook page and I said, look, I'll buy coffee and talk to us for an hour. And if you think we're horrible at the end of it, then now you've got a reason besides just talking like
right.
this. And she never responded.
No.
And,
right.
You know, the civility has just gone down the...
It has. And when you can hide behind a keyboard and feel powerful and strong, but the stuff that you're putting out there is just complete misinformation and just complete libel and slander, that's not acceptable.
That's not acceptable. Absolutely.
Another big thing that you can do is run for school boards. There's 24 independent school boards that will have 48 positions.
So. Do you have to have kids in school?
No. You just obviously have to live in the district
if you
represent.
Yeah, if you look at Gateway.
Right.
Two guys have been on there for a long time. Don't have, their kids did go through the school.
Yeah, and
running for a school board, in one case, we have an avowed Marxist on one of our school boards that burns the American flag.
Right.
Did you all know that? Yep.
Yeah,
an avowed Marxist who burns the American flag.
And was he elected? No, he was appointed.
He was appointed because he's the only one that applied.
Right.
There you go. Okay.
We will definitely be making sure people run for that position when it becomes available.
I would like to hear what the from the school board, see what kind of weird things are coming out of there. Okay. Well, thank you very, very much, Leslie Sawyer and Arthur Gorman for Moms
thank
for
you,
Liberty.
Carl.
And things
thank
are going
you,
on. I've heard about you, and I just, you like to hear where y'all are coming from. And if it's for
absolutely.
Age-appropriate books, if that's what we're talking about. I'm all for that. And if somebody says, well, I want to have these books in for my fourth grader, that's fine, but let them be, like they used to be, behind the librarian's desk, so they can come up and ask for them.
And the parents can know.
And the parents know about it, because parents have given permission. Okay. Mm-hmm. Hey, this last, you can blow out of here if you want to, but you can stay. Thank you very much. On October 3rd, 1993, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, was the Black Hawk Down, the Battle of Mogadishu. It started way before that. In 1992, the Somali government failed. And Somalia used to be like a territory of Italy. The town of Mogadishu, the city of Mogadishu was just beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And they fell into civil war with warlords taking over, and in this case, warlord, gosh, okay, I'm falling apart here. I mean, when he took over, he used starvation as a weapon. And when he, what he would do was, when the UN shipments of food would come in, he would steal the shipments of food and would use that as a weapon, and he was starving. I mean, literally, when you think about this, a million people starving to death. And it wasn't because the food wasn't there. It was because he wouldn't let the food get to his, quote, enemies. Now, how do you know who an enemy was in Somalia? Two guys would meet. They'd start talking. They'd go back centuries, maybe, of their clans. And then they'd find out that somewhere in their background that their clans were at war. And then, you know, then the battle would start. The George Bush senior said, this has got to stop. And he had a multi-nation organization go in there. And they sent in 25,000 Marines, which I was fortunate to be a member of. And we got there around November, beginning of November of 1992. And I left with my unit in April of 93. There were still Marines there. And when Marines pulled out, they had the UN there and special ops guys, the Rangers and Delta were there after us. And I cannot begin to tell you that here's this beautiful city, probably one of the most beautiful cities in Northern Africa. It was just trashed. You'd go into buildings, there would be, of course, there's no glass anywhere, and all the copper wiring was gone. Everything that could be used was gone. You'd go into a village, and all the water from this village is coming out of like a half-inch rusty broken pipe, and it was dribbling out. And that's where they got their water from, and I've told the story before, but and I went back and looked into their main water source's pond, and there was a dead donkey in it. Somebody killed and thrown in there. So my Marines really loved this, but I sent a couple of them out with a rope or a chain, and we hooked it to a Hummer and pulled it out of there. Now we're trying to treat the water. You know, our medical, our corpsmen, and we bring in doctors, would be treating the people. They were skin and bones, and the only, you know, we were bringing in food, but you could only bring in so much because, you know, if they ate too much, that would kill them too. Yeah, I know. Some of the bravest people I ever met were these non-governmental organizations that were out there in the middle of the hinterlands, and it'd be, in this one case, his husband and wife. They had bodyguards, but they could never be sure if the bodyguards were on their side or mean side. And or a deed side, and at night they'd be laying on the floor sleeping because of the gunfire. I was fortunate enough to run into them again, believe it or not, in Croatia. And this was kind of like the reward for being in Somalia, was to go to Croatia where it was cool. It was cool living there. And we discussed that. I mean, we'd pull up to these compounds, and I couldn't leave the Marines there. Anyway, we left, and then the Battle of Mogadishu, or Black Hawk Down, occurred. Being in Somalia was one of the reasons that every time I came